Hello and welcome to the Marketing Meetup Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. Today we have Joe Royce, who is one of the Marketing Meetup's board advisors, which we're so lucky about, as well as being a ex-Googler, an ex-Unilever person, a coach, a mentor, an advisor. She's just a wonderful human being. Today we're speaking all about setting goals, and the way that Joe approaches this talk is to set it from a far less clinical, sort of organizational focused way, actually far more focused on you, the human being, and what might drive you to create a certain set of goals and then ultimately look to fulfill them. It's a wonderful talk, which I really appreciated, Joe, really interpreting the brief in such a way where it was like, yeah, you know what? The most useful thing is to start with the human being rather than the organization. The human being can be more motivated if they fit in with organizational goals too. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. One thing to say is Jo references her slides a few times in the duration of this session. So if you would like the visuals, she mentions some of the quotes, for examples, then just head to the Marketing Meetup website and the full video is found there too. I want to say a big thank you before we get going to Cambridge Marketing College. They're the folks who sponsored today's episode. Cambridge Marketing College have just released two new courses. The first is all about carbon literacy for marketers, and the second is all about AI for marketers. Super pertinent, super topical subjects. Both courses are fab, well worth checking out, Cambridge Marketing College. With all that said, now's the time to pass over to Joe. So I really hope you enjoy today's episode on how to create goals that drive action. Cheers. I want to say a big thank you to our sponsors for today. This week's featured sponsor is Cambridge Marketing College. They've just released two new short courses, one on carbon literacy for marketers and another on AI and the metaverse for marketers. So if you would like to find out more about those courses, head to marketingcollege.com. I think the fact that Cambridge Marketing College have got marketingcollege.com as their domain name speaks how long they've been around. And I think it's really impressive. Also, a big thank you to Braze, Exclaimer, Klaviyo, Impression, Redgate, and Storyblock. There are other sponsors who on rotation we feature every week. So we'll speak a little bit more about them each week. With all that said, that's my introduction done. So, Joe, it's over to you.
Thank you so much, Joe. This is very exciting and what a privilege. Thank you so much for inviting me to tell you all a little bit more about goal setting. This is the aim, or the goal, if you like, for the session, which is hopefully to just encourage you to see goal setting slightly differently and perhaps improve the way that you do it. And the lens is intentionally both for you as an individual and trying to sort of understand the organisational perspective as well. Now, let's get stuck into this. This is, broadly speaking, how it will flow. The classic beginning, middle and end. A bit of a brief intro, a bit of context. Three sort of routes into goal setting, if you like, with some takeaways for each of those. Some hacks, because hacks are obligatory, and close with some reflections. And hopefully I'll be able to get through this in around approximately half an hour, leaving lots of time for questions at the end. So with thanks to Joe for the lovely, always lovely introduction, the legend that is Joe Glover. This is me. I, as I say, have the great honour of working with the Marketing Meetup as a board advisor. And I work as a freelance consultant and coach and mentor with various businesses, mostly startups or small businesses, having previously worked with the likes of big corporates like Unilever and Google. And I put in the other aspects to me, really just to try and walk the talk, I guess, in terms of showing that how we bring our full selves and how we show up is actually really important to goal setting as well. So that's the kind of the under the waterline stuff that is also me. And having two teenagers, I'm currently enjoying half term. So obviously the great weather has started. So empathy to all the parents out there. this I thought I would put up front. These are some of the many, many, many brilliant authors who write about not specifically goal setting necessarily, but self-development. Some really important themes that I think can be super useful when it comes to thinking about goal setting. Funnily enough, there aren't loads of books on goal setting that I would actively recommend. They're pretty dry. And that's not to say that there aren't some useful resources out there, but I think these have certainly helped to kind of help me to navigate and informed how I do goal setting along the way. I'll have those to you at the end as well, in case you would like them. I guess first up, though, it feels like it would be foolish not to just, yeah, show some empathy and understanding and kind of note where we are in the world right now. The world is a bit of a mess. It's pretty anxiety making. It's pretty stressful. And there's an awful lot of big stuff going on for people all over the world. Against that backdrop, that very real backdrop, whatever your experience of it is, then why on earth would we be talking about how to set goals? Why is that even important in this kind of context of big and serious VUCA stuff? And I guess for me, the answer to that is perhaps even more than ever, it's a great time to remind ourselves about what agency we do have in our lives, for ourselves, for others. And to really try and take the time to focus on what's meaningful and important to us, to give ourselves the best chance we can, not just individually, but collectively, to strive for progress, development, and improvement. So that's a little kind of segue into the session content, which I will crack on with now. So how do you feel about goal setting? We've had the kind of the litmus test, but I know that even the phrase kind of goal setting can trigger quite extreme reactions in people. And I think you might find yourself on sort of one side of the fence in terms of goal setting. Like, does it actually make you feel really motivated and excited? Like, do you think, yay, goal setting, this is going to help me focus and get more stuff done and help me achieve more? Or does it actually make you feel a bit stressful, a bit kind of, I don't know, unmotivated almost? Do you find it a bit, I don't know, unrealistic, irrelevant, and so on? Now, neither's right or wrong. I think the point here is we all have very individual personal reactions to it. And it may well be that if you've struggled with setting goals or keeping to goals in the past, well, maybe they just haven't been the right goals. Maybe they haven't been that relevant to you. Maybe they've been imposed upon you, certainly in an organizational sense, or maybe the way in which they've been tracked and reviewed felt unfair or like it was getting in the way almost. So either way, whichever sort of side of that fence you're on or somewhere in between, you're in the right place. And if you're thinking about your own goal setting, I think it's really helpful to start with grounding yourself. So who are you and what do you want? Kind of question you might answer the door to answer the doorbell with sort of pre-9 a.m. on a Saturday. What I mean by it is you kind of, for goal setting to be meaningful and certainly useful, practical, it really helps if you know what drives you, what motivates you, what you want and why. So the whole back to the why, or start with why. Everything around purpose and connection to between sort of, you know, what you want and who you are and what you're doing, all of that is super crucial to goal setting and making it useful. So the kinds of questions that you might want to ask yourself, not too often, granted, but maybe if you're, certainly if you're thinking about goal setting specifically, and maybe as a kind of quarterly thing or a couple of times a year, what do you like and love doing? What gives you energy? What depletes your energy? What motivates you? What do you want to achieve? And what are you willing to try? So I would recommend doing those, whatever the context, whether organizational goal setting or personal stuff, just have in mind those questions. And the the more honestly you can answer those, the better chance you have of having goals that will actually be true to you, will be doable, and will be hopefully motivating, which is kind of the point in the first place. Now, I should say, a bit of a caveat, and apologies, there's a lot to read on screen here, but this is a lovely quote from a very wonderful woman who has written some awesome papers and books. And this, I think, just it certainly speaks to me about why I find goal setting, I have a bit of a kind of negative reaction to it, or I certainly have done in the past. Because given the kind of the rich creativeness with a small c and the complexity of us as human beings, goal setting can feel really mechanical. It can feel like, well, yeah, sure, if I want to do that, then I just need to do that. And that will all kind of work, won't it? Because everything's static, which of course it's not at all. So I find this quite useful in terms of just sort of saying it's okay to find goal setting kind of tricky, or to have that sort of slight allergic reaction to it sometimes. A really lovely way, if you do find yourself thinking that, to sort of counter that, if you like, is from a Japanese psychologist called Masataki Morita, or Shoma Morita, who I hadn't come across before. Turns out to be a contemporary of Sigmund Freud. And he had a kind of a school of psychology which was strongly influenced by Zen Buddhism. And I just love the full acceptance that this kind of captures and expresses, which is, of course, we're all imperfect. Of course, we all have kind of stuff that we'd like to be better. But if we can start with acceptance and not labeling ourselves in kind of negative terms, but actually thinking, you know, where should we start? What can we do? And that kind of positive, accepting frame, then just what a wonderful place to start, and how much more successful we'll be in setting our goals. Okay, so let's get into a bit of context. Now, you'll be pleased to hear that I'm not about to bombard you with loads of goal setting theory, because it is quite dry and there's a lot of it out there, but just a little bit of context. We have two schools of thought, if you like. So goal setting, as many of us experience it in organizations or corporations, much of it follows the Drucker, management by objectives approach, which is essentially a means to focus people, certainly in an organization, to organize how stuff gets done, and to create a kind of momentum and a sense of progress, and ensure that often lots of complicated things can get done at the same time. So far, so good. It does, however, and maybe this is obvious, but it does kind of emphasize control. So it's a sort of a top-down way of doing goal setting. We need to do this overall, so you all need to do that, and you all need to do that. And it kind of brings to mind that sort of pyramid, traditional corporate structure to my mind. On the other side, you have William Edwards Deming, so slightly kind of later, so a counter perhaps to Drucker and that management by objectives school and approach, which emphasizes a bit more freedom and a bit more about motivation, perhaps, which is actually kind of emphasizing that people need to have pride in their work through continuous improvement. And obviously that's an ideal that lots of organizations would love to see, people wanting to show up and do their best work and sort of improve as they go. But the important distinction there, I guess, is you have to have, as well as parameters and guardrails and guidelines within reason, you also have to have that freedom within a framework, so that actually people don't feel constrained by the goals or constrained by the targets that they're performing against. And I think that really the thing for me to emphasize here is just everyone's motivation is very personal and very individual. If someone gets made redundant and they have mouths to feed, and they need to put a roof over their heads, and the motivation for work at that point may be entirely financial. There are lots of different motivations. We don't always know what someone's motivations are, but understanding that ideally the best way to unlock performance is for people to want to do something is important for the organisation to know and important for the individual to know. Now, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-based, good old SMART goals. Who has not come across SMART goals? If you haven't already in your working lifetime, well, lucky you, because they're everywhere. And it seems to have been an acronym that's kind of been swallowed whole in terms of goal setting wisdom. And what's funny about it is, well, firstly, I found it quite hard to work out where it actually came from, and discovered that it was from a consultant called George Doran in 1981, who was a consultant for a Washington water power company. He just decided that actually the organization was doing a lot of goal setting. It wasn't necessarily being done particularly well. So here's an acronym. It's going to remind people how they could and should be doing it. Now, if ever there was a case for not taking something out of context, it's this. Because actually, when you drill into it, some of the guidance that Mr. Doran provided alongside the SMART acronym was this. So he recognised that in certain situations, it's not realistic to attempt quantification. Not all useful goals can be quantified. Lots can, but lots can't. He also recognised that it doesn't mean every objective written has to follow the SMART acronym. So not all of them can be time-bound. Not all of them can be super specific. So it's meant to apply, some of it is meant to apply to all goals, but not all of it to all goals. He also recognised that when top and middle-level management are indecisive or set inadequate objectives, errors and judgments will compound themselves through the entire organisation. So really, he recognised, and of course, SMART is useful because it's memorable, and possibly that's why it kind of got swallowed whole by organisational goal setting. But the guy who kind of came up with it recognised that actually equally important is to ensure the way in which the goal setting is done is fair, is thoughtful, is appropriate, and so on. So much for SMART, basically. Now, there's also, and it's the last bit on this, but there's also some really interesting research which is kind of counter to SMART, which comes from some academics, I think Kellogg, Arizona, Wharton and Harvard. So, you know, hopefully they know how to research and they know what they're talking about. But they identified that actually SMART goals can in fact encourage us to focus on the wrong goals. They can also mean that our goals are very short-termist, very kind of head down, as opposed to thinking bigger picture and longer term. They can also encourage unethical behaviour. So if someone is so singularly focused on achieving a goal without sort of thinking about the bigger picture, then does it in fact promote goal chasing and unethical decisions being made about how to prioritise stuff or how to kind of get stuff done? So that for me was really interesting. And these are the questions that they suggest you ask when you're doing goal setting in that organisational context. So just really kind of ensuring that, are the goals too specific? Make sure they're not too specific. Are they too challenging? In which case they become unmotivating. Who's setting the goals? How can you ensure that it's actually in some sense a collaborative or at least an interactive experience as opposed to goals being kind of pushed down upon people to swallow whole? Is the time horizon appropriate? How might the goals influence that risk-taking principle? And so on. So quite useful if you find yourself having to do a very rigid form of goal setting and or following the SMART acronym, to think about these questions and try and just gently challenge them with the objective of just getting to better, more motivating goals by doing so. So quick summary, particularly in terms of getting alignment in the organisational context and perhaps in terms of tracking progress as well. These are mine. And please, I'd be equally interested to know if you don't agree. But, you know, less is more. I think I have certainly been in a context where you have more goals than you can fit on one page of A4. And that is not helpful. Certainly not in terms of focusing. Co-ownership and creation, do it together, is an interactive experience as much as you can. That builds motivation and ownership and autonomy, which is super important. Make it clear, make it motivating, make it fair. And I think this speaks to the fact that it can't just be one group of people having lots of goals. It has to kind of be through the organization. And the more transparent you can make that, the greater your understanding of why you're doing what you're doing can be. And get creative. So don't, please don't be limited to spreadsheets, because spreadsheets are really kind of useful for lots of things, but they're not super compelling for goal setting, I would suggest. And more than that, don't do it too often. Don't make it too complicated. And I guess the killer point here, really, for me, work out if what you're tracking and measuring is actually the right stuff in the first place. And this speaks to endless examples of, you know, corporate mistakes and businesses gone wrong by doing really well in accordance with their goals, but failing to kind of step back to see that in the context of the community they exist within, the society they exist within, the people they serve, and so on. So really try and ensure that you are measuring the right stuff in the first place. And you're welcome. I just made up a new acronym for you, based on nothing other than words that I infinitely prefer to the SMART acronym words. So goals could be focusing, inspiring, relevant, and energizing. And to my mind, I would much rather have fire goals than SMART goals. So there you go. You're welcome. Right. Let's get into three routes into goal setting. Joe, am I doing okay-ish for time?
Joe, you're doing freaking wonderful.
Okay, good. Okay, first one is small steps, so kind of ground up. Start where you are. You are alive, you're here, you're doing great. Start from a place of compassion and empathy. So often with particularly personal goal setting, we start from a place of thinking about all the stuff we're not doing. We're lazy, we're not productive enough, we're not focused enough. Why aren't we doing this? We should be doing that. And actually, all of that is kind of the critical parent, or, you know, the chimp or the gremlin, or whatever it is that kind of is our sort of negative and critical voice. But really try and ignore that, try and shut that down for a moment and start from a position of compassion and empathy. Acknowledge your current reality. So that doesn't mean sort of thinking everything's rosy and brilliant and awesome, because generally it's always much more complicated than that. But acknowledge your current reality in terms of good, bad, and indifferent. And then be as realistic as you can about what might get in your way. So the barriers that might pop up, or the reasons that you haven't been able to do something yet, because then you can work out how to overcome them, as opposed to seeing them as a kind of insurmountable thing that just completely puts you off. Committing to small steps and consistency is, from the grassroots up approach, really, really important. And really, the most important thing about that is not just that you're kind of trying to break things down into small, bite-sized and doable steps, but in doing so, and in having a greater chance of achieving them and doing them, you build your own confidence, which is incredibly important for ultimately going on that longer, more sustained journey towards wherever you want to get to. So I've illustrated a really sort of somewhat basic example here, but just to try and sort of illustrate the point. If my overall goal is by next summer, I want to be fit and healthy, it might help me to get a bit more specific, which is I want to do a 10K next July. I don't, by the way, I've got no interest in doing that. But if you did, good for you. What's stopping me? I hate getting up early when it's dark and cold. I also hate running, but that's why this example is not for me. How could I overcome this? Start today at lunchtime. Get a running app. Get a running buddy. Try and run again on Friday, for example. Now, if you wanted to break that down into a very immediate today and tomorrow, which if we're thinking kind of bite-sized and ground up can be really, really helpful, today, I will go for a short run at lunchtime. I might ask Elle if she fancies being my running buddy. I suspect Elle is much better at running than me, so I might ask someone else. Plan a run together on Friday if Elle says yes. Drink 5 pints of water. Go to bed before 11 p.m. None of it difficult. None of it's going to kind of make me think, ooh, I can't do that. So it's all completely kind of, bite-sized, tiny steps. But the important thing is then to tick them off when I've done them, proverbially or literally, but to get and build that sense of progress. Tomorrow, equally, I will build on that. I might do kind of a few more things that are very, very specific. So you get the gist. Making it small, making it specific, making it doable, and building your confidence. So takeaways, how you approach and capture your goals can actually make a massive difference to how motivating you find them. And by that, I mean putting it in your language, making them really practical and achievable, super practical stuff in terms of how you literally kind of write them out or draw them out, or how you capture them, where you put them, can make enormous differences to how motivating they are, as opposed to having to dig into a spreadsheet or dig into a, I don't know, a Word doc, as opposed to sort of drawing something up and make it colourful and vibrant and bright. Start with something super achievable, as I touched on, and actually, based on what you know you can do, which really just sort of further emphasises the point. This is about building your confidence, building your trust in yourself, knowing that you can do what you're setting out to do, even if it's tiny, tiny, tiny tweaks, because that will really help to drive you and to sustain the progress that you make, which is again really important. Reflect on, review your progress, and reward yourself as you go. Possibly not with a big fat takeaway every time if you've got health goals, possibly not with stuff that's sort of not great for you, but healthy rewards. Whatever that is for you, give yourself recognize how well you're doing. And one last example on this, which I just thought was so lovely. This is Benjamin Franklin's daily schedule from 1791. Now, obviously, this kind of predates goal setting as such and as we know it. But what's lovely about this is how much positive stuff relates directly to goal setting. So identifying what you want to get out of your day, making time for different zones or different types of activity through the day, building in reflection, and overall having a sort of a good positive frame. Albeit perhaps we won't all rise, wash, and address powerful goodness, but maybe we will. Who knows? But I just thought actually it was a lovely illustrative example of making that personal goal setting super practical, break it down into stuff that you can understand and that motivates you and so on. And you will stand a much better chance of sticking with it. Okay, number two then, if that's the grassroots up the start small, number two is dream big. And again, a quote that I hadn't come across before, but I really love, goals are dreams are deadlines, which came from a quote from Manfred Kets de Vries. But the book is about alternatives to goal setting, which I have put in the reading if you want to dig into that further. Now, here's a kind of a very specific sort of exercise that you may well have come across or you may well have done, which is about visualizing your sort of your big vision or your big ambitions. Now, whichever's least terrifying to you, depending on your point in life, imagine it's your 60th or whatever birthday, sort of big birthday, sufficiently far enough down the track to feel like you have lots of time before you get there. Your friends, family, your loved ones are there with you celebrating, and they are possibly giving some speeches and talking about all the wonderful stuff that you've done. Visualizing in as full a sense as possible. So picturing and hearing and trying to sort of, even the sort of the smells and the sound, the background sounds that might be there. Trying to really kind of visualize that in as rich a sense as you can. What is it that they're saying? What have you achieved? What are they celebrating about your life? And actually, it can help us to access our hidden ambitions and dreams. Because it may not be something that we readily think about or readily share, or talk about. If it is, then that's great. But if it isn't, then this can be a really good practice to just help you access that sort of those secret ambitions or the vision that's kind of sitting there in the back of your mind. It can also help to ensure that we aim big, long term. And I think that the point to emphasize here is it's really helpful to see that as a compass. So your vision and your ambition is a compass as opposed to a map. And the point of that being, it can change. You know, it can change along the way. New stuff can pop up, good, bad, and indifferent. Again, we might change our point of view on where we want to get to, and that's fine. But it's still great to have that big ambition and that big vision. Vision board for some is a lovely way to do that. I was laughing actually about my backdrop is definitely not a vision board. It's just a messy notice board with lots of things that kind of make me happy, make me smile. But a vision board done very intentionally can be incredibly useful for some people to help see what it is that they want, literally, proverbially, again. So get creative, get playful, do it in whatever way makes sense to you. For some, the vision board is, you know, I don't know, you may not enjoy that as an exercise, but just try whatever works for you to give yourself a chance to see what that vision ambition is. Takeaways, always get out of your head and away from your desk. Look up and out. So see beyond your immediate circumstances for the think big. Allow yourself to dream, basically. Research people who inspire you. You can take, absolutely kind of take lessons and examples from people who've done something you aspire to be doing. And also, I guess, you know, ask what the world needs right now. Because the vision ambition piece, I think, is a real chance to, as I say, move beyond you, singular, and think kind of, you know, you community, you in the connected sense. And it's a chance to, yeah, be as ambitious as you dare to be. Some additional book references in there. David Hyatt, who I'm slightly obsessed with. But he does also, in addition to being brilliant and publishing huge amounts of stuff himself, we love David Hyatt. He also publishes a top book list, I think annually. But he did one recently, which, you know, every book I've ever kind of got that he recommended was pretty awesome and thought-provoking, so highly recommended. Okay, third piece before a few goal hacks. The third route is not really a separate route, but it's about bringing together the kind of the ground up and the top down, so bringing it together, flexing and adapting. So that probably don't need to kind of go into this too much, but if, for example, the ground up goals, the kind of the baby step goals were go to bed a bit earlier on weeknights, drink more water, go running twice a week. If the big vision goal were something like take my health seriously, get super fit, compete competitively in athletics, all a little bit fluffy, but if the principles are there, if that were kind of the ground up and the top down, then actually the useful bit to do is with the ground up stuff, with the baby steps, review regularly, whether that's weekly or monthly or whatever makes sense to you, but you know, review it regularly, track your progress, reward yourself. And with the big stuff, just keep an eye on that compass. As I say, compass rather than map, very intentionally, but don't feel wedded to it, but have it there and allow yourself to be inspired by it. You know, see it as the step beyond the baby steps, and just try and kind of, reflection really is the best way on a regular basis to try and bring those two together. In so doing, you will have a much more holistic sense of who you are, what you're trying to do, and you're, the fact that you're kind of, you're getting there, you're working towards it. So ground up goals is kind of your GPS. This may be over egging the analogy. Big vision goals are your compass. The former, the small goals, may well shift and change along the way. That's okay. But enable yourself to feel that sense of progress. Make sure your goals are kind of achievable in the beginning, in particular, like super achievable. The latter, that big vision, that may well change altogether. That's okay. Welcome to being a human being. Because let's face it, I won't read out the words so I don't have to swear on screen, but you know, stuff goes wrong all the time. We can't predict what will happen and when. We can't control everything. We absolutely, there are so many things we can't control. And stuff will happen that we can never truly prepare for. But the importance of embracing the now and finding our gratitude, if you like, for the now has arguably never been more important. So embrace that. Takeaways, try and embrace this as for yourself as a supportive, kind and empathetic friend would. So that notion of sort of being your best coach. No critical parent, no should, shouldn't, can't, wouldn't, et cetera, all the sort of the negatives, but be supportive of yourself. Accept that there'll be knockbacks and bad days and low achieving times. But also recognize your power to make choices, take action, make progress. And you know, a bit of a perhaps overused phrase, but genuinely, you know, trying to kind of value the experience or the journey as much as that destination is incredibly important. Lovely quote from Anne Lamont, who actually this is from Bird by Bird, which is a book about writing, which is a freaking awesome book. But remember this about perfectionism. If you make something so fixed and rigid and concrete and unachievable that as soon as you take that first step, you're going to stumble or feel like you failed, it's kind of pointless, you know, it's really kind of pointless. So trying to lose the perfectionism and trying to sort of embrace the experience along the way is incredibly important. Okay, speeding up a lot. Goal hacks. Just try to capture them all here. Okay, identify the why before the what. So don't leap straight into what you need to do, but think about kind of why you want to do it in the first place, which again might sound incredibly obvious, but we often don't do that, particularly in an organizational sense. So connect with the why before you get into the what. Build up from positive experiences to build your confidence, give yourself some quick wins, particularly if we're talking actually either organizational and or personal goals, but identify the quick wins, identify what you can do to build momentum and get that confidence. Find a supportive buddy or mentor, ideally someone who has sort of sufficient empathy and love for you, but also a bit of distance can be really, really good. And here's a funny one, just a personal one, actually, although there is quite a lot of evidence to suggest this makes sense. Create goals or do goals when you're feeling good. Because, yeah, positive mindset, abundance mindset will enable you to kind of particularly do the big vision stuff in a better and more fulfilling way. Try the rule of three, which is simply don't have more than three things. Any more than three and your brain starts to kind of fizz a little bit. You can always do another three after you've done the first three. So just try and stick to three. And that really speaks to the Kanban principle as well, which is done, doing, to do. Is a really nice way to kind of organize thoughts. So yeah, try and remember all of this stuff really. Start small, aim big, I'd say is the kind of the essence of doing that whole personal goal setting holistically. And Carl Rogers, who has a lot of extremely sensible and useful stuff to say, has this lovely quote, which is the curious paradox is that when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change. So knowing yourself, being true to yourself is a fantastic place to start. Because let's face it, the world needs some new solutions and some fresh thinking and some innovative approaches to everything. and I don't know about you, but I don't see a whole lot of creativity existing within spreadsheets and Trello boards and so on. They can be really useful for some stuff, but allow yourself to be and think creatively when it comes to goal setting as well, and keep trying every day to just be a better human, essentially. That is it.
Totally beautiful, Jo. Thank you so much. Just wonderful. We've got Danielle saying relatable, useful and practical presentation. Thank you for brightening an otherwise dull Tuesday morning.
Oh, thank you.
Kelsey, wonderful presentation. Thank you so much. Lucia saying that was lovely. Amazing. Loved it. Thanks a lot. That was great. Really inspiring. What a way to start the day. Great presentation. Such a refreshing and compassionate take on goal setting. Thank you for the honest approach. And these are, there's 15 messages I haven't even read yet, Joe. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Get this last one from Mike, who says, up early in New York and it was so worth it. Thank you very much, which is completely lovely. Something I reflected on halfway through that presentation was, I get the privilege of working with you many days a month, and sometimes you forget how amazing people are. So thank you for displaying such empathy. I think today, like, I thought that was just particularly off the charts and such a lovely framing for today's session. So I really, really appreciate that. And appreciate
you.
We've got 13 open questions, so let's take those for the duration, for however long that turns out to be, whether it's 5 minutes or 20 minutes. We've got some time. Folks watching in, if you want to help me prioritize the questions you'd really love answering, if you can see the Q&A feature down below, if you want to give a thumbs up to any questions you'd love to be prioritized, or indeed add your own, I'd encourage folks to ask questions from or look at questions from down the bottom as well, just to make sure we don't lose anything else. In the meantime, Joe, let's go for the first one, which is actually one of my favorite questions from today, which is from Fiona, which is that you started today being very thoughtful and empathetic. But Fiona asks, where do you start when you're still not sure who you are? And like, this can just be a personal experience thing on your journey of sort of finding yourself a little bit, but it felt like it was important as part of the goal setting context.
Wow, yeah, that's a mega question.
It's a big old question.
Yeah, it's a biggie. I think answering in a sort of, you know, a very personal way, I think that for many is a bit of a lifelong quest, really, isn't it? I think taking time along the way, whatever the context, whatever you're doing, to be really, I think it comes back to, so taking time for reflection, and preferably reflection when we're feeling good. I don't know about you, I tend to reflect a lot when I'm feeling crap.
Yeah.
And that's not always very helpful, because out come the gremlins and the chimps and the negative kind of voices and so on, or the critical parent, versus when you're feeling good and positive and everything's kind of working as you hope it will, it's often like, oh, I haven't got time to reflect, everything's great. But that's the time when you should be reflecting, kind of thinking, I'm really happy to be here. What have I done that supported me in kind of getting here, and who do I need to thank, and what am I grateful for, and all of those sort of lovely bigger questions, which can then serve as more and more kind of positive collateral for you when you're feeling a bit kind of crappy, to kind of look at and go, oh yeah, you know, I'm doing all right, aren't I, and I achieved that, and that was nice, and I thanked them for that, and I really love that person. So trying to build up that kind of positive collateral when you're feeling great and when things are going well, I think can be a lovely way to sort of soften the edges a little bit when times are tougher or when you're not feeling so great. And really, I think we only start to know ourselves better from those points of reflection. You know, why did I hate that? Why did I love that? What is it I love doing? You know, how do I like to kind of I don't know, silly examples, but how do I like to kind of work with people or in a team, or what's my kind of superpower? And well, there are lots of great kind of sources for questions that can guide you through that, which I'd be happy to recommend to anyone afterwards. But I think coaching books can generally be super helpful for stuff like that. There are kind of magic questions in coaching, which help you to kind of just reflect and see things in a slightly sort of bigger or deeper way. So yeah, let's go with that.
I love that. Thank you. You know, it's funny. I don't think I've ever heard anyone verbalize that before, about reflecting in the good times and
Not so much in the bad, because it is funny that you kind of do the opposite. We've got some folks in the chat, Zlatka, Emma, Amy, all sort of speaking about like gratitude folders or places where you sort of store things. And I guess it would be interesting, positive things. It would be interesting to go back through those and sort of reflect on like what are the themes here and what are the things that sort of making the hair stand up on the back of my neck or whatever, because they may indeed be the great things. I love how you've approached today's session, because it feels like very much like us rather than us in corporate land, you know, and actually the flip on that. And I wondered how, whether that was an interpretation on the brief that I gave you, or whether that was something that felt important to you when you were sort of thinking about goal setting, like whether we had to start with ourselves a little bit more to be able to fit it into a corporate context. And then a little bit about how that then relates to our careers and our jobs, because like that feels really interesting. I found the framing of today's talk really spot on and really wonderful, but I also found it interesting. So I just wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, and definitely a kind of, well, I guess obviously a sort of a personal take on it, but I think what I found interesting when researching this, because I didn't want it to just be, you know, my opinions or kind of my perspectives on it, is there's very little fresh stuff. This is a bit of a sweeping kind of statement, but there's very little fresh stuff when it comes to organizational oriented goal setting. A lot of it's kind of a little bit of Frankenstein's monster, like kind of building on a SMART acronym or building on a kind of principle from the 1950s, and then kind of, you know, creating slightly new language around it, or a few more exclamation marks, or you know, kind of putting a different frame, but not really changing the substance of it. And I guess the first thing that struck me with that is, my goodness, how much the world has moved on, and you know, how many different ways in which we have to work to be helpful and to, you know, to serve our planet and to serve each other and to be sort of citizens rather than consumers these days. It requires paradigm shift. It requires different tools. It requires different ways of seeing and so on. So to be recognizing that whilst using tools from the 1950s seemed kind of funky to me. So brought it back to everything becomes more meaningful if you can start from a personal place and a connection to it. And so I guess as someone who has also in corporate contexts really hated the goal setting process, I really just didn't get it. Why are we measuring that, not that? Why are you talking about only that stuff? Can you see that, you know, even while hitting all the goals, it's really not going that well, et cetera, et cetera. So finding a kind of, taking it back to really kind of, the, I suppose, some of the roots and the really positive principles around goal setting, which is about, you know, human improvement and motivation and connection and so on. So that's why I started there. But hopefully touched on enough that can be relevant in that corporate context as well.
I think it absolutely can. If anything, it grounds the corporate context stuff in becoming infinitely more useful, because you've got a clear idea of
right.
your part in it.
And
that, you know, just the strengths, the weaknesses, the energy that you can put behind these things, like it becomes 100 times more powerful if you can relate your personal objectives to the corporate objective, for sure. And so I'm well with you. I thought it was fascinating and actually quite, you know, a bit of a masterstroke, actually. So that's why I'm asking in a really positive way, really. Let's take the next one from Lucy, because there are plenty of upvotes on it. So Lucy asks, how often should you set your goals or revisit existing ones? Lucy says, with the external environment constantly changing and your priorities shifting accordingly, I found that goals can quickly become out of date quite quickly. So is that about, I mean, even the big goal, does that stay the same, or do you have to keep the big goal and shift the smaller stuff? How do you think about that?
I think in terms of the kind of the ground up stuff, the baby steps and the small goals, you review that as often as makes sense to you. So some people work on a kind of daily cadence. Some people work on a weekly, some people work on a monthly. And I think it just has to be just enough so that you have that sense of kind of progress and momentum, but not so much that it feels onerous. Like, it shouldn't be another, oh God, I've got to review my goal setting. It's like that kind of defeats the point of it, particularly if it's sort of personal stuff. So I think finding a cadence that works for you. Funnily enough, when you think about the kind of the bigger stuff, you know, it's probably even more than the kind of adaptive, flexible baby steps. The big vision, the big ambitions will absolutely change over time. You know, our priorities change over time. I definitely have utterly different ambitions and kind of, you know, big vision stuff now than I did when I was 20 or 30 or 40. You know, it obviously it changes over time. Your priorities shift. So I think that the thing that really underpins both of those, like the small goals and the big vision stuff, is just if you do it with compassion and empathy and sort of positivity, then you will never feel kind of bad for having to change them. And I think there can be a real misconception that if you have to change the goals, then you haven't done what you set out to do. And I fundamentally think the opposite. Now, clearly, if you set out to kind of become healthy and day one involves kind of checking into, I don't know, chocolateworld.com, it sounds a bit dodgy, but you know, that's probably not the best step. But so trying to ensure that the goals are realistic as well as achievable is obviously really important. But I think trying to find your own cadence, which is easier said than done. So in the same way that trying to think about reflect on how you're doing and what you want to do next is best done when you're feeling great and feeling positive, probably the worst time to set the big vision stuff is like beginning of the year in January, right? You know, we're all tired, we're all skint, the weather's rubbish if you live in the UK, and I don't think I've ever stuck to a New Year's resolution. If you do those, I don't think I've ever stuck to one beyond kind of, you know, the first few months of sort of energy around it. It's a bit like the gym memberships, isn't it? They kind of the peak in January and they've kind of fallen off by Easter. So do it when suits you. Do it when you go away on holiday. Do it when the sun's shining. You know, set the big vision stuff when you've got some time and space to yourself, or when you've kind of had a chance to be a bit more reflective, and make it work for you.
Love that. Absolutely love that. And you've actually already answered the next question as well, which came in from Charlotte around new year, new me versions of goal setting and keeping that momentum up. I love coming from a good place, but then, you know, sort of looking to keep that up. So Charlotte, hopefully you feel that question's been answered as well. It's from the top, so I didn't want to just ignore it, but it feels like it's there. I also feel that we've kind of covered the personal versus professional goal stuff, so hopefully that's okay. So I'm going to go to the next one from Montserrat, who asks, are there any tips on getting organisational buy-in for your goals? So you've sort of spoken about your organisational past and stuff like that. How do you translate those into sort of our working life a little bit more?
I think there are sort of almost two ways to answer that. So one is a lot of organizations will talk about inclusivity and the importance of sort of bringing your full self and your real self to work, which I think is rarely done well, unfortunately, and is an incredibly sensitive area. You know, having the choice to choose as an individual what you want to bring to work and what you want to keep private, I think is equally important. But being able to bring a sense of who you are and what you want as an individual to a work context and to an organizational context is super powerful. So if you find yourself in a work environment and organization that truly supports that and is interested in who you are as an individual and wants you to be yourself, then I think that's wonderful. You know, you can share even some sense of kind of, you know, what drives you as a person and what you're looking for in life or what you love doing. And I think when that's done in a very sensitive, authentic, supportive way, that's amazing. It's just that not a huge number of organizations necessarily are that great at that. They're good at talking about it, but not that great at doing it. Mm-hmm. Because I think it only works when it's 100% authentic and everyone is allowed to do it, but has the choice to do it. So that's kind of one routine, I guess, one perspective. I think the second would be kind of getting buy-in for goals in an organizational context where you may have a very sort of personal take on something, or you have a really strong opinion on what should be included. I think, again, no easy fix to that necessarily, no quick fix to it. But the more you can encourage open, honest discussion, the more you can politely and sensitively talk about what you think really counts within an organization, the more you are enabled to represent and drive what you believe really counts. I guess that's the reciprocal side of that, you know. So finding an organization where you can do that is half of the challenge a lot of the time. You should be able to be yourself. You should be able to kind of to politely and sensitively speak your mind on stuff that matters. And if you find an organization that does that, chances are you will also have personal goals written into your professional goals. So a lot of businesses do that, but making sure it's done well with care, empathy, support, etc., super important.
Hang on, you know, I think Montserrat puts open, honest discussions at all levels is key, you know, and
exactly right.
It's amazing how often these things can be lacking, and it's silly to sort of say in an amazing world where, you know, every boss listens to every employee or vice versa. But as you say, the starting point is that decency. Those are conversations, and you can hope to take people on a journey, I guess. Let's take one last one, Joe. You've been incredible today, so thank you so much. And also, like someone's put in the chat, shout out to Susie for the recommendations throughout in the chat as well. Susie's been on fire. Let's take this last one from Anonymous, who says, during certain times in my cycle, I feel super motivated, and other times I just discard them and not care. Do you have any advice for keeping up the good momentum or getting out of the rut? And so we've spoken about sort of setting goals from a place of goodness, but from that sort of more low place. Do you have any advice for folks in those situations?
Yeah, I think easier said than done, but trying again not to overthink when you know that you're feeling in that sort of, you know, lower mood state or kind of challenging mood state. There is a tendency that we all have to think this is the truth, this is the reality, when actually it's you in a kind of tough place. So I think back to kind of the notion of gathering the positives and the good collateral that you can whenever you can, is super important to kind of fall back upon and to remind yourself about. And also to have, if you like, a really pragmatically low bar in terms of what progress can be through those sort of tougher times. And there's a danger of sounding flippant in all of this, absolutely not, but it's about really kind of being as empathetic to yourself, as compassionate to yourself as you possibly can, and recognizing when it's the right time to be trying new stuff, and recognize when maybe it's the right time to just give yourself a bit of time out and go for a walk in, you know, a beautiful woodland, or switch off, whatever it might be. So really, you know, I think it all kind of comes back to genuine sort of self-care and building self-awareness and pragmatic, achievable small steps.
Beautiful. Love it. Thank you so much, Joe. Just absolutely wonderful. I need to send you the chat file after today, because There's a lot of praise coming in for you, but also just also the community have been on fire today. So thank you, Joe. You've inspired a lot of thoughtfulness and in a really
so much, Joe.
So appreciate you very much. Right, we're 2 minutes over, so I'm gonna call it there. But thank you, Joe. Thank you, everyone, for coming today. I hope that makes you just feel a little bit more fire, as Joe put earlier. Big thank you to Cambridge Marketing College for supporting today and the rest of our sponsors. The recording will be made available after today's session. I forgot to put it straight on YouTube, so I'll pop it up in a couple of hours' time. And with all that said, thank you all very, very much. If you wouldn't mind putting your favourite takeaway from today's session on social, it makes a world of a difference. With all that said, with my dog snoring in the background, take care everywhere, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Take care. Cheers, Joe.